Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes. Because trust is a must. Rossdalehomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, g'day, Roo. On a Friday morning, we are in Port Lincoln. Beautiful Port Lincoln.
Yes, our second home. We are over here and loving it. And wouldn't mind being anywhere in South Australia. You've got the Clips all going on, Fringe. You got Port Lincoln Cup. There's so much happening
at the moment in March.
But
I hope the power stays on.
Hope the power stays on. They did have a three-day break last year where they had no power at all. Nearly run out of water.
Yeah.
They were in dire trouble here. But we're right today at this stage.
Yeah,
I've got we needed a glass of water this morning.
I've got to say, I've got that Port Lincoln flu, Roo. I seem to get it every time I come here.
It's just the air conditioning.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
right.
We've had problems with
I'll turn it off tonight in my room. Yeah, and I should be okay.
We have got a massive show coming up today. Absolutely chock a block. Lawrence Moody joining us. We've got Mark Scaife to talk all about the Clipsa, and we love Scaife on Triple M, don't we?
Yep.
We've got boys coming in telling us about sharks over here again. One of our mates who's in the series, Abalone Wars, who it's going to millions of people all around the world.
Just on that, now I've heard a whisper. You know, we talk to these guys every year. They're mates of yours, and they come in and talk to us. One of them had, let's say, a massive episode about a week ago when he was out diving. He's going to tell us about
it. It's unbelievable.
I've heard the whisper is a great white shark has basically hip and shouldered him. And he's come out of it.
Smashed him in the cage. We'll find out more about that. Hamish Hartlett's going to join us today.
Wag will be happy.
Yes, Wag will be happy.
She loves Hamish.
Good-looking Hamish. Yeah. Aaron Phillips is going to join us later on as well, the Camry Crow, that former Port Adelaide.
That we gave you. Yep.
Yes, thanks for that too. Mm-hmm. She's dominating. So we've got a full show, Dits.
Yeah, we have. No, very exciting. Today's Port Lincoln Cup Day as well. Roo, still no statue over here. I thought it would have happened by now. Of course, you and I have won a couple of Port Lincoln Cups. No, of us and our horse.
Oh, our horse.
Hastine,
yeah.
You know, we went back to back. And because you walk down the foreshore here in Port Lincoln and there's a big statue of Mackay Diva.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering where ours is going, and I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we're still going for funding, like my little statue that was going to be built at Wakery.
Hasn't that happened yet?
No, just can't quite get the funding for it.
Why don't they just do like a paper mache one or something like that? Mm. I mean, they talked about it. You've got to follow through.
All right, we'll do that.
All right, it's Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Ruined It's for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined It's for Breakfast, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Another warm day in Adelaide today, Roo. It's going to be another scorcher in the 30s, 34 today. And we're heading in for a good weekend as well.
Beautiful.
Now, making news around the world, Roo. Now, I thought this might have been an April Fool's gag, but apparently it's not. Now, the band Hunters and Collectors, right? One of our favourites. In fact, we spoke to Mark Seymour just a few days ago,
didn't we? A week or so ago.
Yeah. Hunters and Collectors. There's a mob called PETA, P-E-T-A, and I don't know what that stands for, but it's the animal rights mob, basically.
Yeah.
Are asking Hunters and Collectors to please change their name.
They're called the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
That's PETA. Okay. Now, PETA are up in arms because Hunters and Collectors suggests going out hunting animals, you know, hunters and gatherers, as we all are, as the males of the household that go out and we're going back to the caveman days here, you'd have to go out and kill and bring home the food for the family.
Yeah.
And PETA don't like the name Hunters and Collectors.
Well, they've actually written to the band and suggested that they change their name.
Yeah.
How long have Hunters and Collectors been around for?
Quite a while, yeah.
20 years?
Oh, at least.
At least?
Yeah.
That's what they just worked it out of, eh?
Yeah. Because, of course, you know, when you hear a Hunters and Collectors song, it just makes you want to go out into the African jungle and kill 10 lions, doesn't it? I mean, it has that effect on me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, I thought about going fishing today while I was over in Lincoln and just catching a few fish.
Yeah. Yeah, go out and, you know, round up a few stray dogs and just, you know, neck them.
So is this a government organisation that we're paying taxpayer money for? Is this just volunteers?
No, it's a bunch of people with hairy armpits, pierced noses, you know, tattoos on their face and dreadlocks that want to hug animals, I suppose. I don't know.
Gee whiz. Mm. Well, how do the people that's in Smashing Pumpkins feel? They'd probably
good point.
Need to change their names.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, pumpkins have got feelings
They have. No, it's a living thing, a pumpkin.
All right. Blind Melon, that band.
Yeah.
That would affect the people that are...
Visually impaired.
Mm.
Where does it end?
Guns N' Roses. They've just been here. I mean, what about Guns N' Roses?
Oh, of course, the gun lobby.
Yeah, the gun lobby. Oh. I mean, you know, the band Cake.
What's wrong with that?
Well, the people who just might start eating too much uncontrolled.
Oh, eating disorders.
That's right.
Oh,
where
yeah.
do they feel?
The bulimia society.
Regurgitator.
What have they done wrong?
Well, you know, eating disorders.
Oh, gee.
The list goes on and on. The bands have to change their names everywhere if Peter get their say.
Yeah. You know what? I find every time there's an AC/DC song, I think they're just laughing in my face about the power in South Australia as well.
Speaking of the power, it's taking the mickey out of us. That is another topic at the moment. BHP have come out and said they didn't make a razoo last year because of the power situation. $137 million. Dollars it's cost them, so they haven't made any money. I don't think it's long before. Why would you continue running that business up there with 3,000 staff? All the risks that are associated with it if you're not making money because of the power.
All right, now, Ru, there'll be a section of the public that listen to this and say, "Oh, BHP, they're a big company; they can handle that." The problem is, it's not about handling it. What you just said is very, very important for our state. They will say, why do business in South Australia? Now, this isn't a new thing. I'm not making a massive statement here. Everyone has said this before. Our politicians, as of today, need to sit down and sort this out once and for all, because the BHPs of this world then go to their head people, wherever they're based around the world, and say, do not do business in South Australia.
We're not expanding there. There's
because
no point.
There is no point doing business in South Australia when we work our guts out for a year only to break even because In a blackout of 1 week, we lost $130-odd million and didn't make a profit. You know what I'm saying, don't you?
Well,
you would definitely
what do you think Coke
spread
did,
the word.
What do you think?
Well,
I know Coke might have been constrained about their location there, but why would you expand here if you can expand interstate where power's 50% cheaper? BHP's power bill is going to go up 78% next year.
What?
78%, they reckon it's going to go up. They're looking at
they'll pull the pin.
They're looking at doing bringing in generators and all sorts. They're the biggest user of power in South Australia, I think. And unfortunately, they get cut off pretty early because of where they are.
This is critical. This is critical. Jay Weatherall needs to act today. He needs to sit down with BHP today and come up with a solution very, very quickly. This is critical to our whole state, to our future.
We spoke about Wyala yesterday. I sat, the first bloke I ran into when I got to Port Lincoln yesterday was a guy from Wyala. And, mate, I said, how are you going? And he said, it has been the toughest year I've ever had. Now, he's in business in Wyala. If I tell you right now, if BHP pulled out of Roxby Downs, I'd kiss goodbye half the country towns anywhere near it. Wyala, Port Augusta, Port Pirie, Lincoln would feel, Adelaide would feel, you know, 3,000 jobs a state. It would be an absolute nightmare.
Well, like I said to you, if you're an executive of BHP right now, what are you telling your mates around the dinner table?
You're not confident about business.
You'd be telling them, don't do business in this state. This is frightening. Hey, something else that's resurfaced, Ru. You know, we talked about the nuclear plant.
Nuclear waste.
Right, now this is a big, big story that broke in the middle of last year. We know that Jay Weatherall, a government delegation, went to Finland to check out how they're doing it and how does it work. Now, as you know, this really divides people. A lot of people are worried about storing nuclear waste, all right? However,
The dump, they call it a dump.
Figures are unbelievable, aren't they?
Well, there's a story today saying there's $257 billion dollars to be made. Now, $257 billion profit would be very, very nice for South Australia. It would be very handy to have that in the bank.
All right, there's a new push for this, a group of Adelaide business people. Now, believe it or not, my old mate Brian Cunningham's involved, former CEO of Port Adelaide, who did a great job at Port Adelaide. He's well respected, but he's got together with the Economic Development Board in South Australia, and there is a fresh push for this to happen. So we're going to read a lot more about this. Clearly, a group of prominent Adelaide business people have got together and said, hey, we need this.
Well, I'd like to explore it more. The fact that it got turned down by just a group of people that got paid $500 to fill out some forms and don't really know enough about it, I wasn't comfortable with that.
So Brian Cunningham and his Economic Development Board. Now, on that board, apparently you've got Tim Ginever. Russell Ebert. Scotty Hodges is on it.
Don't tell me Bomber Clifford's on it.
Bomber Clifford's on it as well.
No,
he is.
Simon Trigenza?
He's on there.
Trigenza's on it.
So this is going to happen. I can see this getting up. But good luck to him.
What about the runners now?
Dave Arnfield. Yeah, he's running errands for him. Yeah, he's the message boy.
Oh, come on, Jay. Just get it, look a bit further
in
now.
In the end, they'll get this David Arnfield out of our bloody... In the end, they'll sign off on it because he'll pester them that much. It'll get through. Roo. Anyway, that's what's making news right around the world.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Time to welcome a man who's coming to Adelaide, Lawrence Mooney, the Moon Man. Good morning.
Morning, Tits. Morning, Roo. How are we, boys, down at Port Lincoln?
Yeah.
Very, very good over here. Very well behaved last night, Moons.
I did.
I tucked Tits into bed at about 10:15 up past 10 last night. So.
And Moons also ran into this very, very shy...
You get diplomatic community in a new postcode. What did you get up to?
I ran into a very, very, very shy fella you might have met before, Dipper.
And, yeah.
He wasn't, very quiet and shy.
And he hates to tell you a story that features the main character, Dipper.
That's right.
Well, he did mention something about a Brownlow medal and the fact that he wore number 9 and that he won 5 day and... 5 night premiership.
Yeah,
so
that
might have heard
a couple
that more
times.
Than once.
Yes, that's right, with a shirt full of ribs, and it's a massive weekend of footy, of course, boys. AFLW round 5, and without wanting to be too cliched, it is a season-defining round, because by the time Adelaide take on Brisbane tomorrow night at Norwood, and I'll be there with the NAB lead-up team, all the other games will be played. I'm coming over tomorrow, I'm going to do the show.
Down to Norwood Oval.
From Norwood, so I'm looking forward
Brilliant.
To that. Red Legs, and then I'm going to hang around for the game, of course. And what a game it's going to be. It's not just an 8-pointer. It is a minor premiership, because the winner of that team will just about guarantee themselves a berth in the grand final.
Gee, you're all over your women's footy.
Moons, you've done your research. Yeah.
So it's going to be a great weekend of footy. I mean, we've got 4 and 5, Western Bulldogs versus Carlton, both with a couple of stars out, so that's going to be tight. Melbourne play Greater Western Sydney, and if you're a betting person, you might want to put the house on Melbourne, because they're not going to lose that one. It's not going to be a massive return. I mean, gamble responsibly, but take all of your money out of the bank and put it on Melbourne. Collingwood are playing Freo, and Freo just haven't lived up to expectations. But all eyes on Adelaide, because it's looking like it might be a grand final at the Adelaide Oval, March 24th. And, potential premiership. Let's not talk them up too much. But interesting they've selected Sarah Perkins at full back rather than full forward. Maybe there's
that's
a
just a misprint.
Going on.
That's
I feel like
misprint.
I'm talking to the Dennis Cometti of the Women's League here. Are you an ambassador?
I'm working on the Women's League for 7. But I've got this segment on the show called In the Race, where I interview a footballer in the race, and do the old player profile, favourite meal, favourite movie, Shawshank Redemption, all that stuff. But it's an interesting dynamic, because there's an older man in the race with a younger woman. Now, I know that sounds immediately not great, but of course they're the alpha in this situation, because they're the elite athlete, and I'm just a little fanboy, like, so how long have you played footy for? So it's a very interesting dynamic, and I'm loving it. It's great.
Bit of role reversal. Hey, how's your back going? How's the hammer and tack?
Well, as you know, guys, I had an epidural into my L4-5.
Mm-hmm. And, nice. That's the lumbar spine?
The spine
for the
is the back there.
Yeah.
and of course, I had to stop all activity, which has been great. You can use that as an excuse. Sorry, I can't. I just can't come to that family function. My back, and everyone goes, no worries. But I'm allowed to start exercising. This morning I see the osteo, and then I can start exercising. And you know what exercising I can do? You know at the pool, when you go down there and there's that bunch of pensioners doing water aerobics?
Yeah.
I'm joining one of those classes.
That's not exercise, Moons. I'll give you the tip.
So I might pick up an oldie, who knows? G'day, girls. What's your name? Hello, Joan.
Hey, how's your fringe show coming together? You're on your way to Adelaide?
It is singing. I did a bit last night at a spot in Melbourne, and I'm looking good. So bring it on, Adelaide. I'm looking forward to it.
Sorry, we're talking to Dipper.
We're talking to Dipper.
Okay, boys, I'm pretty funny. I've done a lot of shows. I don't know. Do you remember me? I used to wear number 9. He does sound like he's got one nut, doesn't he, Dipper?
What about Hunters and Collectors? They might have to change their name. Peter have spoken out, who are a very powerful group. They're not happy with Hunters and Collectors because, it might insinuate we go and kill something.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. I I had a chat to Laura from Peter on Mez's show yesterday. And
Laura from Peter.
Laura from Peter. I had to make this joke. I said to Mez, can you pass me that file? And he goes, what file? And I said, the Peter file. Because it's quite thick and there's a lot of info in there. I had to make it. But
what, no, any good names in the Peter file?
Well, hunters and collectors are in there. No reflection on them. Peter put them in there.
Oh, no.
Moons, I'm going to have to use that. I love that. That's beautiful. Sorry.
Yeah, anyway, so I just said to her, why now? Hunters and collectors have been going for 36 years. And it's all about the upcoming duck season, of course, which has been reduced drastically in Victoria. There's no more ducks left. We've shot them all. But I think the idea of hunters and collectors is just a publicity stunt by Peter, and that's what they're very good at. They're very good at pushing their own name rather than maybe working on protecting animals.
Yeah. You know, now, I've always thought, just as I leave you, Moons, the way my miniature mind thinks is that if two fellas are out on a duck shoot and they're standing around, they go, duck! Well, doesn't the duck duck or not? It's almost like a warning sound, isn't it?
Or one of them should, maybe.
Yeah, you probably don't yell out and make any noise when you duck shoot.
Oh, you reckon? Okay, all right.
Now, I think you're
trying to stalk them.
Standing waist deep in water waiting for a bird to fly by is my idea of a good time.
No, nor mine. All right, hey, good on you, Moons. We look forward to seeing you here over the weekend for the footy.
Spin a huggers and protectors song and let's get out of here.
See you tomorrow night at Nord Oval, Moons.
All right, boys. See ya.
The huggers and protectors, I love it. Beautiful. Ruined it's for breakfast on Triple M. Triple M. Roo Clipsal 500 takes over Adelaide.
Oh, it's going to fire right up today at about 9:40. You're going to hear the cars flying around the track here in Adelaide.
A man who used to make his Commodore hum right around the street circuit. Mark Scaife. Scaife, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Big start to the season. I'm always intrigued with V8 supercar drivers that they just don't get to practice like any other sport. I know they had a practice session last week, but really I find it must be a difficult thing. They've got to hit the track this morning at 9:40 and just hope that it all comes together.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, isn't it? I mean, it's always intriguing, the first race meeting of the year and new teams, new team names, new drivers in different locations, and the whole thing's a bit strange. And it is a part of the sport that, you know, if you compare it to other sports, as you said, we were very limited with our testing and practice. So we had a day at Sydney a couple of weeks ago where all the teams were basically running there, and we've got a new title run on the car. So when we roll out this morning, all the guys are pioneers. You fire up Wakefield Street for the first time and you go, I'm not sure how much grip I've got and what the car's like. So it is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Is it going to make much difference, those different tyres, and are you expecting anyone to improve rapidly this year, Scaife?
Look, it's actually, I think it's a quite exciting, Roo, because the new tyre will be better for everybody. It'll definitely improve the quality of the racing. All the drivers, to the man, have actually said, you know, that they enjoy driving on it more. But what actually happens is they're all pioneers because no one's used them here on these streets, and no one, you know, at this stage has got any experience with the tyre at all. So it'll make that tougher. But there's a couple of other ones that'll also be interesting to watch, Roo, with Scott McLaughlin. He's gone from Gary Rogers and the Volvo to DJR Team Penske. And he will be very, very fast. He's got the 888 engineer, Ludo Lacroix, who's gone there also.
Wow.
And in terms of a strong team, the Penske organisation, one of the world's leading race teams, spending a lot of money, new Shell sponsorship on both cars, they'll be tough.
Simona Di Silvestro comes over from Switzerland. How much do you know about her, Scaife?
Yeah, look, she's actually the real deal. She's a serious race car driver. She's done a lot of racing in the US, a lot of open wheel racing. But this is a different assignment. It's, you know, this is a tough one. This is probably the hardest race meeting of the year at your first event. So being match fit will be. Seriously, it is. If you think about, you know, 2.25 hours inside the car, will be close to 60 degrees. You know, high G forces, lots of load over the curbs, and you can't make a mistake. You make a little mistake at turn eight, you go in the fence. So it's a tough assignment, this one.
What does it feel like when you get out there on that first day, then, Scaife, and some bloke's got a faster car than you. Gee, you'd be angry, wouldn't you?
It doesn't give you a big fit of the giggles because you sort of think to yourself straight away that you better press on. Exactly, and you know you're trying hard. You know, I mean, when you do a lap around here, I promise you, you hardly breathe because you're so close to crashing, and you fire through turn eight. You've done the best lap you can possibly do, and you look down at the lap time on your dash, and if that's not fast enough, it's demoralising. So that's what I always used to love in terms of the form guide aspect. If everyone's put fresh tyres on, everyone's had a major go, and you can go righto. And this is also a circuit where you can pick it up and carry it a bit. The driver contribution to street circuits is very, very high. So the guys, that big risk versus reward here. Do you think last year that battle with Courtney and Wincup, like that was wow, you know, one of the best races I've ever seen here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the sort of stuff that we can expect.
All right, we can see all of the action live, ad break free on Fox Sports, and Scafie's part of the action. Who do you like, Scafie, of the modern drivers? Have you got a favourite? I mean, Van Gisbergen to me is an exciting sort of driver. Who do you like?
Oh, look, to be honest, I haven't got a favourite, but I do have a very healthy respect for Wincup. To win six championships, and I've never seen him look fitter.
Wow.
He wouldn't have liked being beaten by Van Gisbergen last year, and that rivalry last year, in the history of the sport, whether it was myself versus Lowndes or Ambrose or Moffat versus Brock or whatever you like to call, that rivalry last year was as good as it gets.
Exciting stuff. Now, Scavy, just before you leave us, I'll just tell Rue a little story. You know, years ago, Rue went down the Clipsal 500 and I watched Mark Scaife drive around in his Commodore. Mm. And you know what? On the Monday, I went down to Metro Holden and I bought one. I bought an 8-inch speed. I did. I bought a red one. And of course,
Scavy,
and as they said to me, red ones go quicker. So I got a red one. I got a club sport. And I came home. My wife said, "You're a bloody idiot." But anyway, but I enjoyed it. It was good fun. I loved it.
You've got to tell that story more, Dietz, because I always used to say, the win on Sunday, sell on Monday is the right thing.
Oh, I love that one.
Good on you, Scape, and we'll enjoy your action on Fox Sports. Good on you, mate.
See you, guys.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
We're over in Port Lincoln, Roo, getting ready for the Port Lincoln Cup today.
It has been a brilliant week of work so far, and here is the week that was.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, so Blakey has left, but we learnt At Home with the Ricciutos can keep on going. Presented by Sarah Ricciuto.
At Home with the Ricciutos.
Rocco's sitting up on the bench. He wants a biscuit for breakfast. Rosie's got her tap shoes on.
She's tap dancing.
Tom's just sitting on the floor with a massive boogie coming out of his nose.
See, this is At Home with the Ricciutos. This is it.
Number four.
Pete Hellier was on, and we learned you've got to be careful of what you say about Tex Walker.
He's always listening.
New book out today.
Kids novel, Frankie Fish in the Sonic Suitcase.
Wow.
In stores. I'm a bit concerned that I may have offended the great Tex Walker, actually. Dimmicks in Adelaide sent out a tweet saying that he was in store on the shelves. Sent out the text, said, "Mate, this is right up your alley. This should be past your comprehension." Didn't hear back. Did not hear back.
You were basically saying it's about his IQ to the kids' books, weren't you, Pete?
Well, yeah, I was basically saying that,
What's up, Pete?
Oh, g'day, Tex. How you doing? They said you were 10 minutes away.
Do books come with people that can read for you?
Number three.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Tizzy Pora, the reality TV star that lives in Fantasyland, was on, and we learned some new words from her. Here's the first word.
I found that Chris and Ash were egregious towards me. Ash,
what does egregious mean?
I'm just looking that up. Aggrieved.
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 And the next word.
So what we're asking you, you said you had a shag for 6 years and you got this mystery man in Adelaide and all of that.
You got anything to say to him?
I'm looking forward to being on the chapstick. Anyway, I've got to wrap it up, guys.
And by chapstick, I think she means... Number two. What do Anthony Ricketts, Rhonda Thorne and Ken Hisko all have in common? You guessed it. They're all in the Squash Hall of Fame. That's right. We learned the Squash Hall of Fame is actually a thing.
Believe it. On Ripley's Believe It or Not.
But Ditz probably won't be invited to their next awards night.
They inducted this fellow into the Hall of Fame. Stephen Bowditch.
The Squash Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Is there a big crowd there?
Yeah, believe it or not, there was, yes. Go on. Thousands.
Anyway, it was a massive life-size poster of him with a plaque on it, and I dropped it. And it smashed into quite a few pieces.
And the number one thing we learned on Ruined Ditch this week is that Mick Malloy is not a fan of Bernard Tomic.
He's had to pull out of Acapulco because it was 27 degrees.
Oh, yeah. It's hot. Isn't it?
It was unbearable heat. The only other time he's complained about the heat was in a spa full of strippers and he had to go, oh, can we turn it down, I've had enough. I even lay down. Sally's going, nah, you can't. I remember Michael Schumacher, his car caught fire and he still rejoined the race. How hot do you reckon that was, Bernie?
Understand? It's still your
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, I'm really excited to talk to our next guest, but I've got to say, when this was all announced, I wore a black armband. The whole family. It was like a death in the family.
I knew you'd
for
take
us.
It personally, dude.
Bloody oath, I took this real tough.
But, yeah. You know what? She's coming out and she's kicking goals.
I know. That's the good part about it. I mean, I admire her, but, gee, it was hard.
I reckon she'd be favourite to win the whatever the equivalent of the Brownlow is in the Women's League.
What about when her dad sang the Crows song on our show?
Beautiful radio.
Greg Phillips.
Great
anyway,
radio.
Let's get her on. She's a superstar. Erin Phillips, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Good. Erin, please tell me now, when I see you running around in that Crows Guernsey, have you got like, a Port Adelaide singlet on underneath or a vest or something? Or?
No, look, obviously, it's been a bit of a change for everybody, including, obviously, you, Dits, with a black armband. That's a bit extreme. But, look, I take these things very bad. Well, that's right. I'll be sending you my number 13 Guernsey to wear around. So.
You've been on fire, Erin, too, kicking some brilliant goals and just dominating. And have you been surprised yourself at how quickly you've picked up the game again?
I think personally doing okay, but I feel like I'm getting, better and better each game. First game, I thought I was pretty rusty and, it's been a while since I played the game, but, it's basically a massive credit to my teammates in the footy club. It's just how much I just love being a part of it and, I just enjoy playing and, it just shows when I do run out there.
Erin, I don't want to get ahead of yourselves, but obviously the games have been at Theberton Oval, great little atmosphere, good crowds, and there's talk that if you get to the grand final, it will go to Adelaide Oval. Now, tomorrow night you're at Nord Oval, and I'd expect that Nord will be packed.
I'm going to make a statement here.
What?
There'll be more people at Nord Oval on Saturday night than there will be at Richmond Oval for the men on Sunday.
Really? Yep. Is that what you think?
Well, that's just my little two bobs.
Wow. But I guess my question is, Erin, would you rather stay at those venues? I know Adelaide Oval is very, very exciting, but how do you feel about that?
Yeah, look, obviously, for me, it really doesn't make any difference. I just love to be in the grand final, no matter where it is. Yep. I guess.
Got to get there first, Erin.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't fall for ditch trying to take her off the ball.
If obviously that's our goal, and if that if the time came and we were in the grand final, then I can see just a massive amount of support wanting to, to come and watch the game. Yep. So, Adelaide Oval would make sense. But again, I'd leave that up to the people that need to make the decision.
Well, let's worry about that when it happens, if it happens.
Absolutely.
But, tomorrow, now, with the men's game, we see it day in, day out. There's so many avenues for us to go and watch replays or whatever. Can you have a look at the Brisbane team in any way? Like, are you able to, before tomorrow night's game, because they're undefeated as well, can you get to see a lot of their play?
Yeah, definitely. We have... Bet Goddard and the assistant coaches do a fantastic job of, making themselves available, with any film that we want to watch or individual clips on other opposition or team opposition analysis. So, look, that's always there available. They do a great job with that. But obviously we do a massive focus on our own. And I think that's been, why we're really successful is just kind of worrying about what we do and getting better each week, which we definitely are.
Erin, do you see someone like a Bec Goddard being able to go into the men's competition and be a competent AFL assistant coach?
Yeah, definitely. I think, the thing with Bec is, one, she's got a massive passion for the game and her understanding for the game is, unbelievable. She, for me personally, just coming to the football club and I've just learnt so much from her, on a personal level with football. And obviously when I played, the terminology was a lot different back then.
Yeah.
And the game's definitely changed now. But, you know, she's definitely a coach that can hold her ground against the boys. So, you know, I'd love to see, you know, that for her someday.
Yeah, well, good luck tomorrow night. It's going to be a great game. You do take on Brisbane, who are the other undefeated side. I think a win in this game would shore up a game in the grand final. But we're over in Port Lincoln today. We've got the Port Lincoln Cup, and Port Lincoln's a special place to you. I believe you've bought a property over here. Do you need tonight to go and do a little bit of gardening or something before we go and back a winner in the first?
Yeah, you can pop down there and do some gardening. That would help. But yeah, look, obviously growing up, Mum and Dad took us to Port Lincoln every single, you know, Christmas, and we spent a lot of time down there. So yeah, I bought a block of land and built on it with Kookaburra Home Solutions, which is fantastic. A little shout out there for them. But yeah, look, it's a wonderful place, and you know, I'll be spending a lot of time there after the season. And in fact, we're trying to get a end-of-season footy trip to the girls there, so just leave your credit card, Roo, at your pub. Right. We'll be right.
I also, yeah, don't worry about that.
Is your joint on Airbnb? Can Roo and I go and stay there?
Yeah, it will be after you I can. Use it at the end of the season. So.
Beauty. All right.
You can go crash it now if you want.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, good luck tomorrow night.
Yeah, packed house. Yeah,
Roo thinks you'll get a bigger crowd than the men.
I'm coming along with the family. Yeah, we'll be
and,
there.
And, Aaron, good luck to you. You're playing great footy, and let's hope you can remain unbeaten.
No, thanks, boys. Thank
Good
you.
Good on you, Aaron.
Aaron Phillips. And what's the address of that place in Lincoln?
You'll find it. Just
near
the
Port Lincoln
Hotel. Marina and you'll find it.
Right. See you, Aaron.
See you, boys.
Right.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, this story is self-explanatory. We're going to hear from Carrie Bickmore here from The Project on Channel 10.
I love a shower, and fortunately in my house, in one shower there happens to be a double shower, and I often shower with my son Ollie, okay, and he's 9, and I'm going to say it is almost one of my favourite times of the day, because it's very hard to get a son to talk to you often. They're quite, give you one word answers, how is school, fine, how's every, you know, friends at school, good. But for some reason, when we're in the shower, Ollie has his shower, I have my shower, and we just chat and we talk about everything. He tells me about what's going on at school, and I love it. It's such a beautiful time. And it's not like we're snuggling under one. He's got his, you know, space. I've got mine.
Now, Roo.
Yes.
There's been a hell of a backlash about this. She's been criticised.
Well, people are having a crack at her.
Yeah.
Well, they're having a shower with her own son.
Yeah. Now, what happens in your house?
Well, quite often you do shower together because you're in a rush, and we've got a double shower as well. So quite often there's Tom, Rocco, bloody all of them in there, and you just get the job done.
Correct.
I've got Sophie, who's 10, and, you know, it's not uncommon for us both to be in there. If we're getting out of the pool and having a shower or whatever, we're both in there and both starkers, and, you know, Just have a shower and get on with it.
All right, now we're going to bring the girls in on this one. We've got Mel the button pusher.
Morning.
And we've got Alice the wag.
Hello.
Girls, what do you think about this?
Big no. No.
No.
That's too old. That is just too old. I mean, we've actually got this exact situation at our house. My partner has an 8-year-old son, so pretty close.
Yeah.
And look, he'll run around his Starkers quite happily, but I don't think it's appropriate for me to get my kid off with him in the bathroom.
Why? Because you're worried about what you look like, or you're worried about him looking at you, or what are you worried about?
I just don't think it's appropriate. I really don't. I think there's an innocence that comes with, you know, when you're a little one, like my 2-year-old, she's just, you know, God, you know, she's happy for everyone to have their bits and bobs out all the time.
Yep.
But I think there's an innocence there, and I think there's a lot more questions that are coming up when someone's approaching puberty and that sort of thing that probably I don't think it's best that you and mum are, particularly when it's a boy and it's the mum and vice versa, I don't think that's a great one.
Okay.
I draw a line, yeah.
Yeah, Alice? I'm a bit weirded out by it. I just, like, no wonder he keeps talking.
But you'll let your dog watch when you're having sex.
Dogs don't understand. It's so uncalled for.
And even if they do, they can't talk about it.
But Alice, quite seriously, there would have been a time when in your house, and I'm not trying to be weird or, you know, inappropriate here, but you've got an older brother. Surely, at what age did you stop, say, having baths with your brother? Mum and Dad were in there as well. That must have happened at some stage.
Yeah, I reckon I don't remember ever seeing my brother naked, which I'm very thankful for.
Okay.
So it was probably a time before that. But I think there's, like, a rule. So for men, No, so if it's a boy and a mum, I think when the boy hits eye level of the punani, then it should stop. And for girls, I had like a family friend, and he said that, like, he had a little girl and she reached up and grabbed it. And he said that was the last shower I ever, ever had. So I think if they're starting to, like, explore a bit, it gets a bit weird.
So if they grab it,
That happens from a very young age.
When you've got your shampoo and you've got your eyes closed and there's shampoo everywhere and your son grabs it and starts swinging from it, it's not a good thing, I can tell you. It's not comfortable.
Now,
I want to take calls on this, Roo. I honestly see nothing wrong with this whatsoever.
Especially if you've been doing it all the time. It's not something new. If you hadn't had a shower with them and then all of a sudden it come in and have a shower when you're eight, then it would be very weird. But I don't see anything wrong with it at all.
Yeah. 133353. We've heard from Carrie Bickmore. I mean, is there a problem with this? Give us a call. 133353. We'd love to hear from you.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Carrie Bickmore on Channel 10 declared that she showers with her 9-year-old son.
Yeah, and it's her favourite part of the day.
And it's caused a furore.
Yeah, there's a few people not too happy about it, don't agree with it, but we think it's quite comfortable. Yeah. In fact, we've done it ourselves, and we do it ourselves to this day.
Let's go to Moana. Good morning, Aaron.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, what Aaron. What do you think, Aaron? Is this a problem or not?
Nah, I don't think it's a drama at all. I've got three kids myself, and both me and my wife, we shower with them all the time. Like Ruth said before, everyone's always busy. You might be in a rush, you just quickly throw them in. Like you said, get the job done, and yeah, no issue at all.
Have you got boys and girls?
Yeah, I got two boys and a girl. So my oldest boy's nearly eight as well, and no problem with them or with us.
Good work, Aaron. All right, let's go to St. Agnes. G'day, Linda. How are you, Linda?
Good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. Do you shower with your kids, do you? Or?
No, not anymore. My daughter's 19 now, so that probably would be a bit weird. But she, you know, right from birth, she always showered with either her father or myself through till she, I think she was about 11 or something like that. And he used to start to get a little bit concerned about it. And I said to him, look, she'll decide when it's time. And she did. It just sort of stopped happening, you know, over time it just stopped happening. But she used to shower with either of us and she never had an issue with it. And we always tried to make the whole nudity thing quite acceptable. We never did that whole, you know, people go, oh, Rudy, when you got no clothes on and stuff like that. I always think that's really bad when parents do that because it just makes kids self-conscious. And we always wanted her to feel good about herself. And I think it worked.
Oh, good, Linda. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Can I just say, Roo, I was a well-adjusted child. My dad used to chase me up and down the hallway in our house with a knife, so I'm going to cut that thing off.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Well, it made me a fast runner.
Oh, God, ditch your house is funny. Let's go to Walkley Heights. G'day, Anton.
Hey, guys.
How are you? What did you do, Anton?
Yeah, I got a 9-year-old son, and he's pretty shower to go. We've got a pretty big shower, so like you guys said, we'll jump in, get it done, and get out. And from my background, my three boys and a girl used to, you know, shower to get in a big bath. My mum used to get down and get it done straight away.
So, which country are you from?
Italy.
Italy. Oh, okay. Good on you, Anton.
Yeah, right. No, the Italians are a free spirit, free loving sort of mob, aren't they, Ruth?
Yes, they are. It's definitely.
Yeah.
Did we know, Alice said that she doesn't agree with this as well. Do we know the reason why it stopped happening in their house?
Yeah, it did stop early on because her dad was mentally scarred. Alice the Wag, tell us what happened.
Please don't make me tell this story.
Come on.
Don't be ridiculous.
Tell us how your dad refused to kiss you in the end.
So, like, you know how you kiss your dad all the time? I obviously, saw it in a movie or something. So one time when he kissed me, I just fully stuck my tongue into his mouth.
How old were you?
Like, I reckon about 7.
Brilliant.
I'm now 25 and I still don't kiss my dad. Like, we just have this thing where we never have a kiss him.
Well, no wonder. You're tonguey from your daughter. You're an idiot.
You're sick.
I know.
104.7 Triple M.
Comwire IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartman and
Let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined it for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Roo, another of our new recruits for this year. We've picked him up in the draft. Hamish Hartlett, Hammer, good morning.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Yeah. Oh, you'd have to be happy with that opener too, Hamish. Come in on a good note.
Hey, Hammer time.
I'm real happy with that. That's pretty damn good. Well done, boys.
Yeah, no, we had a fair bit to do with that too. Hey, down at Mount Gambier on Sunday afternoon, it'll be a beautiful day, and just thump the Tigers down on SA soil. That'd be a good week for round three of the JLT series.
Yeah, that's the plan, Roo. We'll train tomorrow morning just before we fly out, and then we'll fly out to Mount Gambier. So a quick g'day to the people down there, play Sunday, and then we're catching the bus back on Sunday afternoon after the game. So that'll be interesting, but
I'll tell you what, make sure you win, Hamish, and you might be able to turn back the clock and have a couple of cartons in the middle.
That'd be nice.
That'd be a good drive home,
There'd
I reckon.
Be a couple of card games going on the bus, I reckon,
yeah,
as well.
In between, yeah, I would have thought so.
Should be pretty somber if we go down, but
won't go down. No. Don't go down to Richmond.
We'll get over the line and make sure it's a decent trip home.
They'll be cocky after last week, mate. They had their win. They'll be talking finals and premierships after knocking off the Mighty Crows.
we'll see what happens. We've got a big fellow lady to give us a bit of insider knowledge. So hopefully that works in our favour.
Now, you've got some young players that you can have a look at this weekend. We always enjoy seeing them. I'm interested to know what's happening with Dougal Howard. Of course, he had that terrible injury last year. Where's he at the moment?
Yeah, so Dougal is involved in all the drills of training at the moment. He's no contact, so he's wearing the pink hat out of training. He's no contact, so he's one of the lucky ones. He gets to cruise around at training. No one gets to touch him. He can rack up as much of the footy as he wants and put on a bit of a clinic, but he's travelling really, really well. Everything's on schedule, and I assume he'll be looking to make his return about halfway through the season, I suspect.
Okay, geez, a talent. Some of the things he did last year, you know, the brief times we got to see him, he's very, very slick, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, it surprised me, particularly over the last couple of weeks, whilst he's been back at training, his speed. He's just gets away from his opponent with absolute ease, so he'll be looking to bring a bit of that in the second half of the year, and we can't wait to have him back. He's an absolutely cracking bloke, Big Duke, so looking forward to getting him back.
Who are you most excited about out of the younger players that might have been around the club for even not just this year, but maybe a year or two? Is there others that are really going to push for selection in round one?
I've been really excited by the young crop that we've got in this year. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Sam Paupepa, but probably the other one that I've been really excited about is Joey Attlee as well. He's got, mate, honestly, his legs are rivaling Ollie Wines at the moment. They're that big and strong. So he's been fantastic. Willem Drew.
What sort of player is he, Attlee?
He's inside mid. So he's probably 180 or high 180s, I'd say, centimetres tall. Big, strong body, inside mid, very good with the footy, and just really composed with ball in hand. So he's one to look out for. Willem Drew, I think he's going to get his opportunity this week, which is fantastic. He's probably a combination of inside and out. He's got a great tank, great running ability, and really good skills as well. And probably the other one is Riley Bonner, just off half-back.
He looked all right, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he debuted last year against Gold Coast in the last game of the season, and then has carried on his good form over the pre-season and played really well last week. So, obviously in the mould of Jasper Pittard, but he's another one to look out for, I reckon.
And what about the new stuff that Kenny's talked about, throwing Jackson Trengo forward? So you're going to have a tall forward line. Obviously, what we saw from Jackson last year was just phenomenal. With no rucks, he went in there and just really carried the side, didn't he? But Kenny wants to use him forward this year.
Yeah, we've probably lacked a real forward presence for the last couple of years. You know, Charlie's been great when he's been down there. Obviously, missed a little portion of the season towards the back end of last year. But Jacko's presence, his voice, his instruction and direction down forward will certainly benefit us. You know what you're going to get with Jacko in any contest, no matter where he's playing. He's going to give his absolute heart and soul, which you expect from everyone, but he's just got a knack of being able to win contests that he probably shouldn't. And, you know, again, he provides a chop out for Paddy or Loves or whoever's in the ruck at the time as well. So, you know, we think that's going to be really beneficial for us going forward.
Yeah, no, you've got me excited, Hammer. And, you know, the other thing, Roo, all year, going to see Hammer come off halfback, you know, run about 20 metres and go bang and hit Charlie right on the chest.
No, oh, I look forward to it.
It's just going to happen all year.
It's going to be beautiful. You've got Pittard out of there, Ditz, Hamish, Riley Bonner.
Wingard out of the middle. Unbelievable.
Premiership.
Hammer, I'm excited.
Plenty to look forward to, boys. Plenty to look forward to.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy your weekend in Mount Gambier, mate.
Yeah, I'm excited. Hey, don't worry. I'm excited. Very excited. Okay, you get sick of seeing Ditz crying like last couple of years. He's been sulking. I just want to see him up. I want to see him come in on Mondays with his chin up.
We're good to go. Hey, good on you, Hammer.
Joy for Ditz this year. All right, boys.
Good on you, mate. We look forward to talking to you throughout the year. Thanks, Hammer.
104.7 Triple M.
Brew, we're in Port Lincoln for the Cup today, and every time we come over here, we also catch up with a couple of real characters.
Yeah, a couple of boys who die for abalone for a living, and they've become part-time actors as well lately. A series called Abalone Wars has been going fantastically on Fox, and they join us now. We've got Bucky, and we've got Daryl as well. Good morning, boys.
Morning.
We're over here for Lincoln Cup, and we like having a bit of fun. But Abalone Wars has been a huge success. Bucky, tell us, you're up to about season six now. Tell us how many people are seeing this show and how many countries it's in.
It's in been shown in 256 countries around the world now with over 350 million viewers. So it's huge, fantastic for Port Lincoln.
That's unbelievable.
Fantastic for South Australia.
So how are you handling the celebrity status, Bucky? Yeah, I know you're a celebrity in Port Lincoln, but is it true you got recognised in Adelaide not too long ago?
Yeah, I did, by somebody who was a bit scary.
Who was that?
Mick Gatto. He came up and said hello.
Mick Gatto knows. Well, you're in trouble if you know.
So you're big in the underworld then. That's a feather in your
no
cap.
No comment.
He's big underwater and big in the underworld. Now, we all Triple M listeners love some stories. I'm sure you don't love the experiences you have when you run into great white sharks under the water. Bucky, have you run into any sharks lately?
A couple of weeks ago, I probably had my scariest encounter I've had since I've been diving. I was diving down at Thistle Island, just south of Lincoln, which is about halfway down to Neptune's where they do the cage diving. I was just going along doing my business. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I got surrounded by kingfish, which is really unusual, and they're quite big kingfish, 20, 30 kilo fish. There was probably 300 or 400 of them, and I got a bit agitated by the whole thing, so I climbed inside my cage. And then the next thing, about a metre away, I looked out the corner of my eye, and this thing was coming straight at me, mouth open, coming straight at the cage, and I shit myself. It hit the cage, sideswiped it, turned me upside down. When it came, all came back up on top, and all the bubbles and air had cleared. I couldn't see anything. My deckie was onto it. He was right above me. So I made a break for the boat, didn't look back. I just got back in the boat, and that was the end of the day. I said, I think we'll head home and have a quiet scotch.
Now, Bucky, we should point out, and I hope you don't mind me raising this, but, I mean, you've lost a brother to a shark attack, and yet you still go down and go through something like that, and you still turn up every day and do it.
Yeah, I still enjoy the job. Obviously, I'm using a shark cage. Paul wasn't using a shark cage. When that happened, I got a shark cage. Daryl alongside me here, he's just seen the light and he's just got one as well. We're pretty safe in them, and it proved its worth the other day. If I didn't have one, I would have been gone.
Yeah.
What about you, Daryl? You had any close calls lately?
Yeah, well, last time I was diving 80 feet, we got the hose cut. We had to send straight up. So
how did the hose get cut?
Oh, the lads wrapped it around the prop. We haven't got the cage on the boat at the moment, so we're just diving. And it's like not far from where David had the encounter with the shark. And there's a fair bit of tide. We're out the front, and I swam down. And it sort of goes down the ledge, and it quickly goes out to 80 to 140 feet. And you're sort of swimming down there. And I thought, this is just stupid. You know, I couldn't see much. And gets eerie, and you start seeing things in your head, you know, especially after hearing David's story. And I sort of thought, I saw something in the distance. I turn around, I started coming back up when it all took place. So that was one good thing. I hadn't keep going down. So I've got back up in this little crack, you know, pretty quickly, obviously, because you've got no air. And I look up, and the lad's towing me out and around the corner into this really deep stuff. And I'm hanging there in this little crack. So I quickly unhook my hose and let that go so that he doesn't drag me out in the open because it's straight off the edge of rocks, so you're fairly close to the shore. And all the seals, like, they normally check out and jump in the water, but these seals all come running up and, like, put their heads in the water and turn around and went back up the rock. So then I'm sticking my head down under the water going, what the? Well, you feel comfortable when the seals are around you because, you know, there's nothing to worry about. Yeah. So then he goes, gets dragged around the corner and he's gone the boat. So I'm just hanging around in the middle of nowhere in 80 foot of water. Then
but how could you breathe?
Well, by this time I'm on the surface, you know. Ah. I just got my head bobbing above water. Then I get washed up in this crack, like right up in the, because the swell's kicked as well. So I've washed up around the corner and the boat's come back looking for him. Well, he can't see me. All he knows is the hose is hanging in the water and he's cut the hose. So he's peeking, which you've no doubt. And I'm just thinking, God damn, how am I going to get out of here? Like climb up this thing.
Was he new on the job?
Yeah, he was, and brand new.
Has he still got a job?
Yeah, he has. These things happen occasionally.
Have you, Blake, have you thought of fishing rods at all, or not? Why, can't you catch these bloody things on the end of a line?
Unfortunately not.
That sounds dangerous enough, diving with sharks and getting abalone, but we're here for the Lincoln Cup as well, Darryl, and you've trained the Lincoln Cup winner on many occasions, and you've got three horses in the race today. Now, I've just had a bit of a look over the field. It looks one of the hardest races I've ever seen. Can you steer the Triple M listeners into something to put a little bit of their hard-earned on today?
Well, as you said, I think it's a very open race. But I've got three runners in it, and mine are all genuine chances in the race. You know, I'm not going to be surprised if they run fourth or fifth, beaten a length or something. I'll be disappointed if they finish further back than that. David's got a runner in it. Like, it's going to be a real cracking chance as well. I think the speed of the top weights.
Yep.
Yeah, Montado will be very hard. So it'll be getting home. There's plenty of speed in the race. So I'll be looking for something mid-range if you want to have a bet with something with a fair bit of value. Catch him will be good because he hasn't finished far behind him the last couple of runs, so it'll be a really sneaky good lightweight chance. Hopefully, you know, the three of mine run across the line, first, second and third. We ran first and second. Hopefully it runs fourth again.
All right, and there's a horse in the race called Roo Boy too, and just for Triple M listeners out there, it's not my horse. So if it wins, don't ring me afterwards and say, why didn't you tip it? But thanks for coming in, boys. Seriously, a very dangerous job you do. We're amazed every time we come to Lincoln to have a chat. And
Bucky, I just want to say as well, now give him a quick plug. You brought us in some unbelievable breakfast here this morning. Where's it come from?
Cruisers Cafe down the marina in Port Lincoln. They
beautiful stuff. Good on you, everyone at Cruisers. Thanks for that. And they are the boys from Abalone Wars.
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes, because trust is a must. RossdaleHomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.